Al-Bayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Al-Bayan Live. I'm your host, Abu Abdurrahman, and I'm very pleased to be joined by my dear beloved brother and Sheikh, Sheikh Jalal al-Shami. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
As always, it's good to have you with us.
Jazakallah khair. It's good to see you.
Have you been in the last since the last time we were together?
Alhamdulillah.
Pretty good.
Alhamdulillah.
Now it's become the opener for this series since the lockdown. How's your lockdown been?
Alhamdulillah. You know, you always find something to do and keep yourself occupied. Catch up on things around the house and with the kids, especially in the holidays. Alhamdulillah.
Now, before we get into our topic, which is how to improve your prayer, how have you been finding the brothers and sisters, the regulars at ASWJ-Rees, be in your contacts with them? How have they been coping since they can't come to the masjid and they can't, be regular as they normally are in the masjid?
Yeah, it's it is a big toll on them. Yesterday, I was bombarded with so many messages and phone calls from brothers
Jum'ah.
Still hoping to pray Jum'ah. So it's so hard to say, that it's not available. Obviously, it goes without saying. It's something not in our hands. Everyone's aware of the restrictions. But still, some people have hope, it's so hard, especially the Jum'ah, because a lot of people, that's their only time, And then as well, the regulars for the five salawat as well, it's hard because, it's important because the salah is, and the masjid is really, it's a therapy, and people do it because they do find that solace, that tranquility in the salah, and it's something that they miss, and that's something important, especially when it's done in congregation and coming together to do it. So that's why, obviously the best is to pray every salah in the masjid, and then or to pray as much as you can, and that at the very least for a Muslim male to pray at least once in congregation, which is the Friday. And then the absolute minimum is for a Muslim to come at least to the Eid prayer and join with the Eid prayer. And that includes all the Muslim community. And that's really a sign of their allegiance to the Muslim community. And that's a sign that they are part of the Muslim community, which now is in jeopardy as well. With the lockdown seeming to possibly not end very soon, and could extend to the Eid time as well, which is a little bit sad. And alhamdulillah, we enjoyed the Eid al-Fitr, and we're looking forward to Eid al-Adha. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy and to open an avenue for that.
Now, my dear brothers and sisters, we'd like to welcome you wherever you may be listening or watching, whether on Facebook or on our YouTube channel, Al-Bayan Radio YouTube channel. We are live there now. You can leave your comments, feedback, and suggestions there, and inshallah we will try to get to your comments on our YouTube channel, and the Sheikh will be more than willing to answer your questions if you have any. Our topic today is how to improve your prayer. We are currently in Sydney in lockdown, but we can pray wherever we are, and one of the best things we can do after connecting or reconnecting with Allah, and it is one of the ways of connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is our prayers, our five daily prayers. Let's begin, Sheikh, our main topic for tonight. How can we improve our prayer? Where do we start?
First and foremost, we have to understand that it's important to want to improve our prayer. And to want to improve our worship generally, and not just do our worship just to fulfill it and sort of tick it off, but rather to do it in the best way, in the most complete way. And this is as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Mu'adh, "O Mu'adh, indeed I love you. So make sure you do not leave any prayer except at the end of every prayer that you say, اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. Oh Allah, assist me in your remembrance, to remember you. Help me to remember you, oh Allah. And help me to thank you, oh Allah. And help me to worship you in the most perfect way. And so a Muslim should always see that as something important, to not only worship Allah, but to strive to worship Allah in the best way. And the greatest form of worship is the salah. And it's very important that a Muslim always tries to improve and perfect his salah. And it is a constant battle. Yani, me addressing this topic, I just want to say it, that I'm not an expert in this field. I don't want anyone to have an impression by any stretch of the imagination that I'm an expert or I'm perfected myself. This is, wallahi, something I struggle with myself. And I only hope that from the words that we learn from the Quran and from the Sunnah, from the statements and the actions of the righteous of this ummah, that we can help, together try to remember these things and try to use these as a means to improve our worship. So first and foremost, it is to seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by seeking the means that have been recommended to us to improve in our concentration and our improve in our focus and our khushu' in our salah, as well to avoid the things that detract from the khushu', and as well to be conscious of the salah and of the meanings of the salah that will help us as well develop khushu', and as well to seek help by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that.
Sheikh Jalali, you mentioned khushu' there. What is khushu'?
Khushu' linguistically comes from the word stillness. As Allah ta'ala describes the earth, تَرَى الْأَرْضَ خَاشِعَةً فَإِذَا أَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ اهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the earth as still, خَاشِعَةً, bare and still. And then when Allah sends down the rain, it quivers and it grows and it gives the vegetation. So when Allah ta'ala sends down the rain, the earth quivers. And if you've ever seen like one of those quick motion of how, subhanAllah, a seedling sprouts out of the soil moves, okay? And the vegetation grows out of that to whatever vegetation it may be it a small shrub or a great tree. It all starts from that very same beginning. Anyway, so it's the movement of the earth. Before the movement of the earth, it was khashi'ah. So the khashi'ah means opposite of movement, opposite of swaying. So it's stillness. And stillness is one of the important aspects of khushu' that helps develop khushu'. Because generally, if a person is not still, then he's distracted and he's fidgeting. It shows that he isn't concentrating and focused. But technically, the khushu' means, as we said, focus and concentration and being mentally aware of the prayer and focused in the prayer. So that's what we should try to achieve in our prayer, that the prayer isn't just physical motions, and that it's just a sort of a tradition or something like that, or ritual. That's the word I was looking for. But rather, it should be something very meaningful, something very deep, and something as well very therapeutic.
Yes.
As it was for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's two things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned about the salah. He mentioned that it is a raha, it is a relaxation, and that it is a joy. Where he said, وَجُعَلَتْ قُرَّةَ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَةِ. So salah should bring about these two things. It should be a means of relaxation, should be a means of solace, of tranquility, of peace, of rejuvenation, of therapy, and it should be a source of joy. And maybe we can address these more. You know.
Inshallah. Now, there is much we can address regarding this topic, but due to time, let's get straight into it. And I want to set the scene, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Obviously, the best place to pray your five daily prayers for the male especially is the masjid.
No.
When we lock down, the masajid are temporarily closed. We ask Allah to relieve us from this predicament we're currently in and to forgive us for our shortcomings. We're at home. How can we improve our prayer at home? Where do we start? Do we start with maybe selecting a certain portion of the home for like a little musalla? You know, if we have elderly children, should we get the adhan cord in the house? Like, where do we start with this situation we're in?
Yeah, so exactly right. There should be a designated place in the house as much as possible that it's a designated place for salah. If you've got a small room, if you've got a place, we used to call it the salon.
The salon. You know,
the formal, the formal living room that's usually kept
locked. Is that the one that no one sits in?
Yeah, that's kept locked away, only for special guests.
I've got that with the kitchen now. You know that, huh?
So
there's
a
kitchen that is now the kitchen that is not used. And now they've got a secondary kitchen, which is... Yeah. Day by day, for the day-to-day operations
this
of
is a,
one's
this
household.
This is a topic that has been troubling me a lot, the issue of excess and luxury.
Yes.
And maybe, inshallah, in the future we can address that.
I think we're all suffering from this to a certain extent, some more than others. Extravagance and being wasteful. And let's get back to the musalla.
We can table that, inshallah.
Inshallah. So select a
suitable place in the house. Definitely the adhan should be called by any male member of the family. The adhan is not legislated to be called by the females. So it should be only called by the males, and whether it's by the older children or younger children, training them, maybe giving everyone a different turn. But at the very least, even the head of the household, the father or the husband, call the adhan. Even if a person's alone, even if there's no one, there's no one to call, calling out the adhan is something that brings blessing into the house. It attracts the angels. And it makes the devils flee away. As a hadith, authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that he said that when the adhan is called, the devil flees, walahu durat. This is mentioned in the hadith. The devil flees, yani literally passing wind. And yani to drown out, he doesn't even want to hear the adhan. So he wants to drown out the sound of the adhan and show disregard. And rudeness towards the adhan. And so when the adhan is called, it enrages and causes the shaitan to flee away. So it's very important the adhan is called. And as well, to call the iqama before the salah as well. Many times, pardon me, especially when we're praying alone or praying at home, we sometimes overlook these aspects.
Yes.
So this is all part of... This semester that just passed, and alhamdulillah, we have spoken about this topic and we've done these courses before about khushu' and a very important point in regards to khushu' is that khushu' for salah begins before salah. That if you want to have concentration in your prayer, that actually begins from the moment you intend to pray. So when, for example, the clock ticks over to the prayer time, calling the adhan, going and making wudu, how you make wudu. Yani it's narrated that Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, whenever he would make wudu, he would go pale. He would be visibly terrified. And his companions would ask him, what's wrong with you? He would say, as he's making wudu, he would say, do you know before whom I will soon be standing? So just the thought, as he's making wudu, he is now putting himself in the mood that this wudu that I'm doing, soon I'm going to be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine that next time you make wudu, as you're passing the water, it is symbolic of the washing of your body when you pass away. Isn't it when every Muslim passes away, his body is washed? Today you are washing your own body in your wudu. But when you pass away, your body is going to be washed by someone else. And soon you're going to be put forward to pray. And soon you're going to be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as you are making wudu, imagine you are being washed. And as you come to stand in the salah, imagine you are standing before Allah in Yawm al-Qiyamah. And you're going to be speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How will you speak to Allah? How will you face Allah? Will you be proud of what you have done? Or would you be ashamed of your deeds that you have done? Would you not beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mercy and forgiveness? Would you not pray to Allah the prayer that is deserving? Praise Allah the praise that He is deserving. Understanding the status and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we are preparing for the salah and we're making the wudu, let us imagine that. As we are approaching the salah, to approach the salah calmly, not in a rush, as much as we can, especially if we're going to the masjid, not to rush. But and that means if we don't want to rush, that means to leave beforehand, to make a lot of time. And as well, so this is something that's recommended as well, and shows your keenness. Like when you're keen to any event, what do you do? When you know the people of the worldly life, if they have tickets to a concert, to their favorite performer, and the concert begins at 6 p.m., you find they're there.
They're ready.
You know, from excited. 4, from 5, from first one in the line. I want to be the first one in the line. Hours before the event, if they're going to the football, if they're... How about when it comes to the salah? Rasulullah ﷺ, he mentioned that the one who attends the masjid first, that he will be the standard bearer. He will be like the one carrying the flag. He is someone who was honored. So coming to the salah early, coming in an honorable way, yani, this is all important in preparing and having khushu' for the salah, preparing the place. For example, if you're praying at home, making the adhan, making wudu, trying to limit distractions as much as possible.
Sheikh, this is something important, especially in the home setting. How do we eliminate distractions? You know, we know there's some narrations where the Prophet ﷺ had something which distracted him in the prayer and he removed it.
No.
You know, what's the limits we should set here, especially if we're limited in space and
if place? If there's something that distracts you, remove it. If you can't remove it, then cover it. As we said,
and certain things should not be in our house in the first place, like images and statues. Yeah. And
but if it's something incidental, then or if it's something that yani should be removed or covered. If it's something, you know, to children, often the biggest difficulty. Yani maybe as well, yeah, try to.
We're going
to
remove the children too.
Yeah. So maybe for example. Ask yani have like an agreement with your wife, for example, that she'll take care of the children while you pray with the other children that can pray, and then when you finish, you take care of the children as well, to give her a chance to pray with concentration as well and focus, as well to turn off any distractions. You know, sometimes we have the Al-Bayhan radio going on and we can hear it in the background, even though it's something good, but to concentrate in your salah is more important. So turn it down.
I love Al-Bayhan radio, but I have to turn it down as well.
That's right, because the salah is more important. The TV or whatever may be on if the kids are playing games or whatever it is, to turn it off, because not only to protect your prayer, but sometimes you might say it doesn't distract me, but it might distract. So
all this is heading towards one thing, and that is making the prayer great in one's home.
That's
making
right.
it important, making it huge, stopping everything and praying.
Mm.
You know, this is something that I think from a young age we have to instill within our household and within our children in particular.
Mm. Look, obviously there's so many things that we can speak about with khushu', but like just in summary, I'll mention yani some things. Number one is that remember when you are praying, you're in conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just as if you are in conversation with another person, you don't want distractions.
Sheikh Jalal, today we'll just concentrate on before the salah.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it in that way so we can, you know, set the scene for upcoming episodes, because we want to keep this going. Because today I got a lot of good feedback about this is a very important topic. You know, how can we improve our salah?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people, they take, for example, the fiqh of salah, Now they learn the rules and that, but they don't take more the spiritual side and eliminating distractions. And later on, maybe we can talk more about understanding what we're actually saying. Because many people do not understand some of the basic elements of salah, even the takbir itself, even the tasbih, the remembrance of Allah during the salah. So so we'll just leave it today at getting ready for the salah, the scene of the salah, while we pray.
I won't speak in detail about that, but just generally. Yes. So just like, for example, if you're ever having a conversation with someone, then you don't want to be distracted during your conversation. You don't want the kids to be jumping around. You don't want the TV to be on. You don't want, so that you're in full concentration with the person. For example, if you have an important phone call, where do you take that important phone call? Do you take it in the living room where there's a lot of commotion?
You go away
in the room, lock away, sit down, make sure everything, especially some people, if they have, like an important meeting for work or something like that, they'll make sure that even the way that they dress, nowadays a lot of people are working from home, but it doesn't mean some people, even when they're working at home, they'll go and they'll get dressed and wear their work clothes. They won't just sit in their pajamas, even though they're at home. Why? Because it puts you in a frame of mind that when I am dressed, I'm dressed for what I'm doing. But if I'm in my pajamas all day, then I'm going to be in lazy, sleepy mode. But if I get dressed in, for example, my work clothes, then I'm going to be more motivated to be in that work mindset. If I want to, for example, if I have a goal to do some exercise today, I won't be in my pajamas. I'll go and change into my fitness clothing, for example. So that will encourage me to go into go and do something. If I want to go outside and do some gardening, I'll go and wear my outdoor clothing, for example. If I'm just going to sit in my pajamas and not, and same thing with salah. Salah should have a special garment that you wear as well. As is narrated by many of the salaf, that they would wear a special, beautiful garment for the salah. So it's about putting yourself in that mindset because you are meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you want to be, make sure the environment that you're in, the space that you're in, limit the distractions, the way that you dress, the way that you present yourself, even though no one's going to see you. No one's going to smell you. But it's something for yourself and for controlling your own mindset in regards to your prayer.
Sheikh Jalal, before we conclude, and I have a question that we received today, off topic, but I'd like to address it. Sticking to preparing for the salah, eliminating distractions, there are some reports which mention about before you, and we're talking about before you even pray, about if there's food present or you're, as they say, busting.
Mm-hmm.
What should we do in that circumstance if these two things are happening?
Yeah, so definitely we should try generally to organize our time so that our eating times and our toilet times don't coincide. We shouldn't be lazy to eat or to prepare the food or to go to the toilet until the prayer time comes, then all of a sudden I have to eat or I have to go to the toilet. But if, by coincidence, it is prayer time, and even in times where you need to go to the masjid, you need to go to the toilet, then it's better to go to the toilet and pray, because at that time you'll pray and you are relieved and you'll be fully concentrated. I remember my son the other day, I was telling him, go and make wudu. Go and make wudu for prayer. He says, I have wudu. I said, but have you, it's been a while since you've been to the toilet. You must need to go to the toilet. He goes, yeah, I'll pray first, then I'll go to the toilet. So that he doesn't want to,
lose his wudu.
Wants to pray and then he can go to the toilet and lose his wudu and he doesn't have to make wudu until the next prayer. I said, no, if you need to go, then go and make wudu. It's okay, I'll wait for you.
And wudu is an act of worship in and of itself.
That's right. But what's more important than that is that to have full concentration as well. What is probably a lot of people may not realize is that it's actually recommended to refresh your wudu for every prayer. And that was the consistent practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, so even if you haven't broken your wudu, it's good to refresh your wudu before every prayer. As well, if you're in, if the food is presented and served, then as well to eat, take priority over making the prayer.
So this is all in the same theme, so eliminating distractions. Well, yeah.
To eliminate distractions so that you can be focused. Just like if, as I said, just like if you are in conversation with someone and there's something distracting you, then you're going to be rushing the conversation so that you can go to the toilet or so that you can go and make the food or, you know, have the food that's being served. So it's about making the salah. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, and this is probably one of the, you know, the general headings of salah, the most important affair is the prayer. The most important affair is the prayer. So make it an important issue. Make it an important event in your life. The more importance you give to the salah, the more you'll benefit from your salah, the more you have the salah will affect and actually change you. A lot of people, they say, I pray, but it doesn't affect me. It doesn't change me. I don't feel my iman increases. And sometimes, wal'iyadhu billah, that leads people to question why they're praying, and it may lead people to stop praying altogether.
Right.
Okay, the salah has a very profound effect. But the problem isn't the prayer. The problem is with us. When we haven't realized the prayer, we haven't realized our need for the prayer. And it's unfortunate some people go and seek, therapy and seek rituals other than the prayer. And they go and they do yoga or they do meditation or they do I don't know what. The salah is our meditation, is our relaxation, is our joy and enjoyment, you know.
Sheikh, we only have a few minutes left, and I really wanted to ask you this question we received, and that is the questioner asks, they have a family member who has been basically told that they're on their last moments, or in the end, only Allah knows. And the family member is asking about their loved one who hasn't got long to live. What can they do for them? I know it's we've only got a few minutes, but in a summarized fashion, what would you advise them?
If they're aware, because sometimes the person in their last moments,
they're aware.
Then it's important to spend time with them in this time with things that increase their iman.
I think they're bedridden as well. They're in hospital.
Yeah. So even if they're in hospital, to go by them and remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the hadith, to read Yasin over those who are dying. Because if we look at Surah Yasin, it contains a lot of reminders for the believers and issues that increase the iman of a person, their belief in Allah, the belief in the resurrection, the importance of dying upon faith, because these are what a person will be challenged with in these last moments. For a person will be tested, especially in his last moments, where the shaitan comes to a person, and the most severe time where a person will get tested is in this time, because it's the last chance for shaitan to take him off the path of Islam. So he make him doubt Allah, make him doubt the day of resurrection, to make him get frustrated and lose patience and things like that. So it's important for a person to remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remind them of the greatness of saying La ilaha illallah, and to repeat La ilaha illallah to them, and to be very patient and to be very calm, and not to be as well, like freaking them out, that you didn't say La ilaha illallah, to be very patient and calm with them, because a person who's in their last moments, especially if they're suffering and in pain, can be very irritable. And so you want to try to help them, and you don't want to sort of annoy them, and then they might react in a negative way out of frustration.
No.
So, and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua in their absence, and as well in front of them, visit them and spend time with them. These are all important things. No. And as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would visit Sahaba, alhamdulillah, the Prophet would visit Sahaba who were in their last moments, and give them that care and advice.
So increase their hope and their mercy in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, and this as well pleases a person where he sees people care about him and thinking about him, making dua for him. So visiting the deceased. And if not, then at least speaking with them over the phone and things like that. Then inshallah, yani, this off, yani, off the top of my head, Allah,
may Allah give them,
you might find better advice.
May Allah give them a recovery from their illness and all Muslims from the illness that they're suffering, and give us all a good end, because every single one of us is going to face the moment of death. We ask Allah to give us a good ending. I'd like to thank Sheikh Jalal for being with us. He will be with us again, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And also I'd like to thank all the brothers and sisters watching online and listening to Albayan Radio, wherever they may be. Until next time, barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Albayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.